Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Well, greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad to have you with us again by radio today, and we do hope that the radio broadcast is a blessing to all. Now, we're turning to the book of Psalms, chapter 23. We're going to title the message today, The Shepherd's Psalm. Notice with me as we come to Psalms 23, we'll read the whole psalm, and then we'll pray and get into our message. We find here in Psalms 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Heavenly Father, we do ask thy blessings upon the reading of thy precious word here today. Father, we pray for that soul that's nearest hell that did come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And dear God, we pray for the saints of God today that they would be edified by this wonderful psalm. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, again, it's good to be with you by radio, and we do hope and pray that the broadcast is a blessing to all who are listening today. Let me remind you of some resources that are available. You can find us on the web at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. And what you'll find there is there are literally hundreds of sermons and articles that are available free of charge. You also can find us at sermonaudio.com. Now, if you go to sermonaudio.com, you will need to go to the sidebar and find the section titled Speakers, and type in my name, which is Robert Reed, and that will carry you to our home page. And there's many other preachers and ministers upon that particular website. That's sermonaudio.com. If you go to biblicaltruth.info, that is our personal website, and that'll take you right to, again, articles and sermons. There's hundreds of articles and sermons. An article is simply a sermon in print. The majority of the sermons on the website are full-length sermons that have been preached in our church. Now, let's get to our text here now, and notice with me this wonderful psalm. We're titling this The Shepherd's Psalm. We find in this psalm that the Lord is our shepherd, and we see that this is a great psalm of thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, the picture, this psalm pictures a faithful servant, and it is a tribute to God's unfailing providence. You'll notice with me in verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, notice, I shall not want." And then as we come down to verse 4, we find in verse 4, notice with me, he said, "Yea, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," notice, "I will fear no evil." And then as we come to verse 6, the latter part of that verse, he says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We find in verse 1, "I shall not want." In other words, I shall not lack. In verse 4, "I will fear no evil." And then in verse 6, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." A wonderful psalm. Much comfort is given to the saints of God with this psalm. Now, this is a psalm of David. probably written near the end of his life, as he was looking back and remembering all that God had done for him. This psalm speaks to us of security, guidance, victory, joy. It speaks to us of life in general, and especially the life that we have with God. David himself had been a shepherd. He was the son of a shepherd, and he became a shepherd in Israel as he became their king. We refer to David as the sweet psalmist, as we would find in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1. Now, this is my favorite psalm. I love all of the psalms. I love all of the Word of God. But my favorite is Psalms 23. It's sort of like favorite verses and favorite chapters in the New Testament. One of my favorite chapters is Romans chapter 28. Verse 28 has been my life verse. I even sign, when I sign my name to letters or whatever, I usually put that verse there. It's just been quite precious to me over the years. Well, Psalms 23 is one of those psalms that really stand out to me. It brings great comfort to the souls of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings great rest and comfort to the bereaved, the sick, even the dying, the poor, the discouraged. This psalm is an oasis in the desert. We find that many love this psalm. Many Christians love this psalm. And this psalm is a great comfort to even to be read at funerals when someone is passed, knowing that they're in the presence and they're in the care of the Lord God. As we come to the Bible, and this before we start reading and commenting on each one of these verses, and that's what I want to do today, is just read the individual verses and comment on them. But when we think about this, we find that Psalms 23 kind of has to do with our present life, and it links us, of course, with the past and the future, the here and the now. And this psalm is fitly placed between chapter 22, that is referring to the sufferings of Christ and as the Good Shepherd, and it is in between Psalms 24 that speaks of the glory of Christ. In other words, what I'm getting at is that when we come to the New Testament, we find that Jesus Christ in John 10:11 is called the Good Shepherd. And in the context of John chapter 10, we find that he's dealing with his death, the crucifixion, him going to the cross. It's dealing with his sufferings. And that's exactly what Psalms 22 is dealing with. So in Psalms 22, we have the past. We have the Lord Jesus Christ suffering on Calvary's cross for our sins that line up with John 10 verse 11, where he is referred to as the Good Shepherd. And then here in Psalms 23, we see again, the Lord is my shepherd. And this seems to fit in Hebrews 13 verse 20, where that Jesus Christ is called the Great Shepherd. The Great Shepherd, and in the context of that passage, he's dealing with a new covenant and dealing with resurrection. And so Psalms chapter 23, again, is fitly placed, showing the present day of Christ, his intercession for us, his blessings upon us. And then we find in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 that Jesus Christ is referred to as the chief shepherd, which has to do with his second coming, the future, his glory. And that seems to fit Psalms chapter 24 as you would read through each one of these verses. Well, Psalms 23 is fitly placed between these other two Psalms and showing us the present day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice with me, as we come to this Psalm, we're going to first of all read verse 1 and 2, but as we begin here, we find that the Lord is our shepherd, and this metaphor is used in reference to the fact of us, we as Christians, being sheep. Now, all through the Scriptures, it is no accident that we are called sheep. And because a sheep, it's a wonderful animal, but it is a helpless animal. It must have guidance. It is somewhat of a dumb animal. It is defenseless. It has no claws or sharp teeth. It doesn't really see or hear very well. They're weak. They easily go astray. They're quickly disturbed. They're quite skittish. They have enemies that they cannot protect themselves again, like ravenous wolves and poisonous herbs and things of that nature. And so sheep are in desperate need of a shepherd. And so we find that Jesus Christ, the Lord God, is our shepherd. And we are referred to as sheep. And just a few places, Psalms 100, verse 2 and verse 3, refer to the saints of God as sheep. He says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And then again in Psalms chapter 95, we would find that in verse 6 and verse 7, it says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice." So we are referred to as sheep in the Bible, those who are Christians, those who are saved. And this is why Christ had to come and die for the sins of the world and die for our sins, because in Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says that we are like sheep, or we like sheep have gone astray. So the word lambs, sheep, shepherd is mentioned over 1,000 times in the Bible. And so this is an important metaphor that's given here. He says in verse 1, now Psalms 23 in verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Again, we see here the shepherd's presence. Notice in verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water." The Lord is our shepherd. The word shepherd and his care for us, again, is seen in Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11. It's seen again in Psalms chapter 80 and verse 1. And the shepherd is the one who stays close to the flock, watching over the flock, caring for the flock. The word shepherd carries with it the thought of tenderness, security, and provision. That is, dedicated to the care of the flock. And this is the way that God is. This is the way that the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is our shepherd. Again, in the New Testament, he is referred to in John 10:11 as the good shepherd, Hebrews 13:20 as the great shepherd, and 1 Peter 5, verse 4, as the chief shepherd. But notice, not only is he our shepherd, but we find in this passage that it says, "I shall not want," in verse 1. I shall not want. I shall not lack. In other words, I have guidance and direction, love, comfort, peace, contentment, and mercy from the Lord God from the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can be satisfied. God will satisfy my weary soul if I'll put my faith and trust in Him. Psalms 34, verses 7 through 10 clearly bear this out. Psalms 84, verses 9 through 12, again, is very clear on this subject. And even in eternity, in Revelation chapter 7, from verses 9 through 17, there is a great multitude, which has to do with the church, that are clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. And these are those that have came out of great tribulation, but I want you to listen to verse 15, 16, and 17. And it says, "And therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat." Now here's the verse I'm after, verse 17, in reference to our text in Psalms 23. And he says here, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Even as we step into eternity, the Lord is still our shepherd, and we see the Lamb of God there in the midst of the throne. So we find here in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack." And every Christian can claim this psalm, and it's a wonderful psalm. But he also says in verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." We find here in verse 2, the green pastures refers to pastures of tender grass. A sheep must be moved regularly or it will be overgrazed and it can become a wasteland. But the Lord in this passage said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Again, we can find many other verses to bear out this principle, as in Matthew 11, verse 28, "He gives rest for the weary soul." And also in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 through 16. But not only does He make me to lie down in green pastures, but we find that He leadeth me beside the still waters. That is calm, satisfying waters. It is known that sheep are afraid of raging waters, but the Lord quenches our thirst, as in Isaiah 26 and verse 2, also in Psalm 63 and in verse 1, we see that the Lord very clearly brings us to calm, satisfying waters. He not only takes care of our physical needs, but He clearly takes care of our spiritual needs, that we drink from that fountain, which has to do with eternal life and the Spirit of God. He quenches our thirst. Now notice, as we come to verse 3 and in verse 4, we see here the shepherd's protection. Verse 1 and 2, we see clearly His presence, but here we see His protection. In other words, we belong to Him. He belongs to us. You know, we're no match for the devil, and we need to understand that. We're not even any match for the flesh or the world. But we're definitely no match for the devil, but we find that the Lord is our protection. Notice in verse 3, it says, "And He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Verse 4, "Yea, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Notice in verse 3, "He restoreth my soul." That has to do with healing, renewal, bringing us back to the place we once enjoyed. David knew well what this meant. David had been cast down. All we got to do is read Psalms chapter 51, verses 7 through 13. and also Psalms 42, verse 11. David knew what it meant to be frustrated. He tasted defeat. He knew what it was to be cast down. David knew what it was to be hunted by the enemies, to have his life threatened, and David knew this. And so David understood what it meant when he said, "He restoreth my soul." Not only that, you'll notice with me in the text that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The paths of righteousness, the Lord leadeth us this way. And this is something that is seen all through the scripture, especially in the book of Proverbs in chapter 3, also in Psalm 78, verse 52 through 55. But coming back to Proverbs 3, we find that in verse 5, he said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." God has promised that if we'll trust him, that he will lead us and direct our paths, and he'll lead us in the right way. But not only verse 3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." But in verse 4, it says, "Yea, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." A valley is a low place with mountains on either side, and enemies could be posted as you would pass through this valley and them on the mountains, and it would be a difficult place, dangerous, and maybe with sheep, it could be rivers of water, poisonous plants, predators, rock slides, storms, could be a number of things. But as a Christian, we find that according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through verse 58, that we live in the shadow of death from our birth. Jesus Christ took the sting out of death, but we still live in the shadow of death. Jesus Christ has already been through that valley. And a shadow can't hurt you. The shadow of a dog can't bite you. The shadow of a sword can't kill you. And so he says here in verse 4, "Yea, and though I walk through the valley of shadow of death," whether that just be difficult or hard times, or whether that be death itself, the writer says here, he says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." God has promised that he would be with us, as in Isaiah 41, verses 10 through 13. And he says, "And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod here has to do with God's chastisement. The staff has to do with his guidance and his support. And we find here very clearly that the Lord is on our side. The Lord loves us, and that the Lord cares for us. Now, I want you to notice that as we come to the third part of this psalm, we see the shepherd's provision. And we read in verse 5 and 6, and said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Notice the provisions of the Lord. We find here that he says in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." God provided a table for the children of Israel in the wilderness in Psalm 78, verses 19 through 29. God spread a table in that wilderness, and God can do the same thing for you and I. He spreads a spiritual table for us that we can have fellowship and communion with him. But he also says here in this passage, and he said, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." The anointing of oil is a symbol of the Holy Ghost that dwells within us, and he's given us freshness and fullness of the Holy Spirit. And we find that he says here, "And my cup runneth over." A symbol of joy. A cup running over means abundance, living in the overflow and not under the circumstances. And the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. And then the last verse, in verse 6, said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We see the permanence of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, as in Revelation chapter 21, We see the eternal state of things. Now, I want to leave this with you today, is that this is a psalm given to Christians to give them comfort. No matter what you're going through today, you can take great comfort from this psalm and many of the other psalms and other places in the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you to latch on to these psalms and hold on to them, for they'll bring comfort to your soul. Now, if you're not saved today, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. Salvation is through His death, burial, and resurrection. He's the only Savior, the only Mediator, the only name whereby we can be saved. He said that He was the way, the truth, and life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Him. The Bible clearly says in Acts 20 and verse 21 that there must be repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We must put our faith in Christ, trusting Him and Him alone, in order to be saved. This is why that in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We find that in Romans chapter 10, Romans 10, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we find that in verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you say, where do we get our faith from? Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Keep in mind that salvation is in Christ. There is no salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalm can become very meaningful to you, Psalms 23, if you'll put your faith and trust in Christ. He says in Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. He says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're not saved, come to Jesus Christ in saving faith. He's promised that He would save you if you repent of your sins, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His blood that He shed at Calvary, that He is the Mediator, the Christ, the Savior, the one who can save you from eternal damnation. If you are a Christian today, I beg of you to take Psalms 23 and draw comfort from that for your soul in the times in which we live. Well, our time has just about come and gone. We want to thank you for listening to the broadcast each time. And if you've been blessed through it, we'd love to hear from you. If you've been saved through the broadcast, we'd love to hear from you, that we can rejoice with you. Our church would love to hear from you. If you've enjoyed the broadcast, write us a letter, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Well, thank you for listening. Until next time, may God richly bless.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrath Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrath Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.